Ah, yes, indeedy, deedy. I gotta write a song, yes, indeedy, deedy. Just to keep up with the deedy, deedy on the guitar, you know?
Yes, and da-da-da.
Swing music. Okay.
Deedy.
There you go.
Deedy.
That's the one you're looking for.
That was that it? Well, if you can't tell by now, you got Fish and Frank here in the chair, and across from me is Robert and Captain Kale, and he's in the high chair here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tall chair.
I'm riding ski pole.
Riding ski pole? Okay. Yes. Oh, God. I'm glad this ain't a TV show. God. Be glad there's no webcam here, people. That just wasn't pretty. Okay. And we're going to start off with fishing. Where to go, what to use, and how to catch, or parts of that, or all of it, or some of it. So, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Snap out of it, boy.
I'm snapped out of it. Where shall we begin?
I can tell the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, where are we starting? Already. Wait a minute. You just got back off a charter. You start.
Yeah. supposed to be educational tour. We headed up to the 75 bridge. We ended up staying the whole day pretty much right there at the 75 bridge. I don't know if you'd call it a good day or a bad day. We were trying to troll for snook, and we couldn't catch any snook through all the little tarpon.
So all you did was sit there and catch tarpon all day?
Yeah, we caught one nice snook.
What kind of captain are
I know,
you?
I know.
You were supposed to catch snook, and all you can catch is tarpon all day.
Yeah, most people consider that a good day.
That's right. That's a good thing.
With me, I don't know. I'd rather catch the snook than the tarpon, but they are fun.
No, I mean, I think the snook's got a little more weight when it's sized for, you know, inch per inch. Snook's actually a heavier, more muscled up fish, but as the tarpon get bigger, obviously they just outstrap them.
They're all 20 to 40 pound tarpon up there under
the
75 bridge.
And I'm assuming Wes is going to be really happy?
Yeah. We're trolling black and gold rattle traps.
Yeah.
Right through. And the weird thing was even the snook, we weren't catching them against the bunks like we usually do. It was the inside rod that kept getting hit.
Yeah. Out in the middle of the channel, up and down along the pilings, just slow troll about, what, 2-3 miles an hour?
Yeah, real slow. When you're coming up to the 75 bridge, put your lures out early because that hole on the south side of the bridge before you get into the bunks,
right,
we're getting a lot of hits in that hole too.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of it. They had been up around Harbor Heights and a little further north, and that fresh water might have moved them right down by the bridge where they get a little bit of both. So that's a good thing. We're on the Peace River. We got tarpon up there. We got schnooks up there.
Black drum.
Lots of black drum at the 75
up by Harbor
bridge.
Heights. There's been a lot of sharks and stuff up there.
A lot of baby bull sharks and a few black tips.
Yep.
Keep in mind, when you're catching those little sharks up in the river, 9 chances out of 10, it's a bull shark, not a black tip. And they have to be 54 inches to keep.
Exactly. Yes.
So, anyway, moving down the river, let's just go around it. Pontegor or Port Charlotte canals. Anybody hear anything in the canals?
Canals are doing great for jacks.
On Port Charlotte?
In the Port Charlotte side.
Okay.
Still catching Spanish mackerel in there, too. A lot of snapper in there.
Bunches of snook, I've heard.
Yeah, lots of snook.
Anything
snook at the spill dams are phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, the closer you get up to those freshwater dams, the snook have been really, really, really good. Not so much the last couple days because the rain has subsided, so they're not flowing real hard. But
now if that storm moves in that's sitting over the harbor right now, that ought to give us enough rain to fire it back up.
Every good hard rain, when it dumps hard over those spill dams, I mean, the snook light up, and so do the juvenile tarpon.
Yeah, lots of first-year tarpon in those spillways.
Yeah.
3-inch storm swim baits or the what's the power bait one?
The Berkeley?
Yeah, the pre-rigged little swim baits. They're inexpensive. They work great. I'm going to say get a pack of white and get a pack of dark.
Yeah.
And one or the other is going to work.
Storm Twitch Stick has been working in there too.
Oh, yeah.
Rapala X-Wraps, your top waters.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's just because I learned to fish them with those swim tails. that I do it, and I used to just make my own out of the 4-inch shads, but for some reason or other, that pre-rigged factory one is just, it's
pretty
the bomb.
Impressive.
Yeah, it's the bomb. I don't know why.
Well, it's, I mean, it used to be the 4-inch paddle tails or the 4-inch salty dogs back in the day with the pyramid jig head.
Yep.
I mean, that was the slickest thing in the world for that.
Yeah.
You know, and they've kind of replicated that more so.
Yeah, it's kind of a cross between the old 4-inch shads with the big belly and the new
molded head.
Yeah, well, like the DOA Cal shads, you know, or the Bass Assassin shads, the little 4-inch paddle tails.
Yeah.
They're a skinnier, minnow-looking one, and then you had the older one, which had a great big, almost threadfin-type belly on it.
Right.
And this is kind of right in between the two, and I think they did a good job with it. But
yeah.
The Berkeley and the Storm both are just rocking there.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's look. Anything happening in Alligator Bay, Port Charlotte Beach?
Well, yeah, that's what I was just going to say right out front there from basically the 41 bridge following that entire shoreline with the sandbar. There's been a lot of small sharks, still quite a few cobia cruising around through there at the beach complex.
So you're talking going from Bayshore all the way around to Grassy Point and up in Alligator Bay?
Correct.
Okay.
And then at night, there's been quite a few redfish and some small snook at the beach complex and right there at the boat ramp, along with some oddball big black drum and a few tarpon.
All right.
And that bay across the way.
Right.
Muddy Bay, is it?
No, it's Ackerman. It's where the Ackerman dumps out the...
Yeah, but there's a name for that big bay.
And I can't remember what it is.
Shallow water, so be careful in there.
We'll call it Kale Bay.
But a lot of redfish in there, some snook in there. A lot of nice size jacks, 10-pound jacks, cruising around in there.
Cool. So,
shrimp underneath the mangroves.
Straight across
redfish
from the Port Charlotte Beach Pier. Just get behind the islands back in there.
17 mr into the shoreline and retrieve it for the jacks or Rapala. Storm twitch stick works well for that too.
Gotcha. All right, swinging around the front, we got the sand beaches there going over to Hog Island and up Hog Island, Rocky Creek. I don't know what's been going on there.
The mouth of it has had some fish in it, but it's been super inconsistent. You know, there'll be redfish stacked in there one day and then nothing the next day. But the right along those beaches out there in about 4 feet of water, there's been some really big cobia cruising back and forth and a lot of small sharks.
Yeah.
A lot of small redfish, small snapper. Small sheephead up inside the creek too.
Gotcha. And anyway, let's see. I guess it takes us into the Myakka Cutoff.
Myakka Cutoff, kind of the same thing as Rocky Creek. You know, there's been some good redfish, but still inconsistent. More towards the north side of it. A lot of nice snook inside there. Big snook. I mean, there's been some really really good sized snook up in there. And then as you get further towards the north end, up towards Tippecanoe there, there's been more consistent redfish.
Yeah, a lot of jacks. You go up inside those cuts on the Myakka Cutoff, and there's been a lot of big jacks back inside some of those bays back in those cuts, too.
Well, now, I think if we were cruising this by boat, we'd have to go through the cutoff and come out in the Myakka River.
Uh-huh.
And where do you... Eljabeen or out in the main part of the river?
Both. Eljabeen at night has been really, really, really good for the snook.
But it's scary.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's not very scary unless somebody tries to build a campfire on the pier again.
Yeah, exactly.
But daytime, what's going on in Eljabeen at night?
The tarpon and snook have been incredible there at night, and then there's not a lot of mangrove snapper, but they've been bigger mangrove snapper at night.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of them right around the dock pilings itself, straight down.
Yeah.
And what's going on during the day, Kale?
Coming back down the day inside Trout Creek, get in there some of that white bait on an incoming tide, and you will just absolutely tear up the snook in there.
That's out at Trout Creek. That's right at the mouth of the Myakka River.
Right.
Okay.
Anything over at Cattle Dock?
I drive by Cattle Dock. I rarely fish it because it's one of those places that is inconsistent. It's either full of fish or nothing there. So it's one of those places.
It's hard to stop each time.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to be there, and sometimes it's just not worth it. You got a good incoming heavy tide, and it's already deep in there. go fish it. You have a better than average chance of picking something
up.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're driving right by it, it's not a bad place to stop for a couple minutes, but you don't devote a whole lot of time to it because it is hit or miss.
But, I mean, if something was in there, I'd expect redfish, snook, juvenile tarpon, sharks in there this time of year.
I would say if cattle dock, I'm just going to go straight out redfish. That's pretty much what I catch there. But right. Heading down the west wall, I haven't heard anything about the locks over there going to Gulf Cove lately.
No, I have not heard of anything. Even way up inside, usually you get a lot of good bass reports this time of year, and yeah. I'm not hearing much at all.
The one thing that I noticed, it was about January, and it was like somebody flipped a light switch in there for the blue crab.
Really?
I mean, it's wow. Just inside the locks is a real popular place to pick up blue crab.
Right. I mean, there's and, a lot of back there.
You know, I had a trip out of there one day, and they were pulling them in left and right. And then the next day, there's one guy in a boat, and I haven't had nothing all day. Huh. So it was been like that ever since then.
All right. Well, let's head down the west wall. Hopefully, we get more encouraging news. Now, I'm calling the west wall the hot spot for the outgoing tide. All that fresh water flushing out of the rivers, and it's all running right down the west side of the harbor. You're almost going to split the harbor between the fresh water on the west side, the brackish kind of mixed either or in the middle, and the clear salty water on the east side.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
I'm going to call west wall best bet of outgoing tide right now for as far as snook redfish goes.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've been moving a lot. They've been moving 50 yards one way or the other. So you hit that one little creek now, and nothing's there, but you move literally 50 yards down, and then there's a lot more, well, more numbers of redfish or snook.
Yeah, if there's none there, there's got to be more if you're going to catch some over there. So. Yeah,
well, it's just weird, you know, because usually they're like ones, twos, but now it's like 0, 0, 0, 12, 0, 0, 3. You know, there's plenty of them there, and they're assorted sizes, too. There's guys that are catching a 12-inch redfish and a 30-inch redfish under the same spot.
And you would think that 30-inch there, he might be there trying to eat the 12s.
He might be.
You never know. There's been a lot of jacks moving up and down the west wall. They're hard to find, so you really can't pinpoint them. Remember, they've got two speeds, haul butt, disappear. So
right.
they're pretty yep. hard to find.
Out on top of the bar, there's been some incidental pompano, but nothing consistent because guys have been skipping them as they've been running down that side. There's also been a lot of cobia right on the outside edge of the bar with a whole miscellaneous array of sharks of all sizes. And then if you move out there into like the 8 and 10 feet of water, you're getting to get more sporadic tarpon. You know, still the catfish and the sharks are going to beat you to death because the tarpon still aren't showing themselves that much over there.
Yeah.
They're showing themselves a little bit more on the east side than they are on the west side, but they are there. A
lot more bait over on the east side.
That's because of that fresh water coming down that west side.
Those thread fins are sticking in that salt water.
So, swing around to Cape Hayes, still kind of a hot spot. I mean, be it for pompano, permit, trout, snook, snappers, sharks, tarpon, you know, you're liable to run into anything there at Cape Hayes right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with you. That's another place I drive right by. I don't know why Cape Hayes is my nemesis. I never catch.
Used to be one of my favorite things.
Never catch anything there. So.
And I've sat there and up on the inside with my customers catching a lot of little snook and watch Ralph Jones out there, not catching as many, but each one of his could have ate any one of mine. I mean, so they're some of the most monster snook I've ever seen out there. But if you're not Ralph Jones, they're tough.
Yeah,
they're real tough. I mean, he spent a lifetime figuring that stuff out, and it's just amazing because 10 feet one way or the other, you're in or out of them.
And it's probably that cut that goes through there that you see the offshore boats cut through.
No, he's on
in closer?
Just closer to Cape Hayes along the outside of the sandbar.
Gotcha.
Not on the side in where the land is, on the outside
right.
of the bar.
Right.
And kind of just before the bar heads out. And there's some amazing fishing there, but it is tricky, double tough to fish. But if you could master it, I mean, you're into some of the most unbelievable fish you've ever seen.
You know, you have people that go out there and just absolutely knock things dead out there. Have the days of their lifetime out there.
Yeah, I was one of them every once in a while.
I'm not one of them.
I used to be. We'll have to see if I still got it. We'll have to head out there one day. Heading around into Turtle Bay, Anything out in the middle of Turtle Bay, out in the open water?
A lot of small sharks cruising around through there. There's been a few incidental bigger trout. Just not good numbers, but they seem to be a little bit better quality, like in the upper teens, you know, like 18, 20-inch range.
They're all the ones that aren't afraid of the shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dumb trout.
There's been some tarpon in that back trough there heading over towards the eagle's nest. And then there's been some really big nurses and lemons cruising through there lately, too. The entrance right at Turtle Bay where the posts are at for all the birds to sit on, there has been some redfish under there, but it's been kind of hit or miss. It's been mainly...
It's weird with those poop sticks, and they literally are poop sticks, folks. They shoved a bunch of 2x2s down in the water and figured the birds would land on them and poop in the water and fertilize the grass. That was the whole idea behind all those sticks.
Seriously?
Seriously. I mean, they are poop sticks. It is just the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Right. Stands with everything we were saying the other day. Welcome to Florida.
Yeah, Florida. Okay, we get it. But anyway, and getting back over to Bull Bay, if you were going to Bull Bay on the outside, I'm going to say you got a really nice chance of good snook, decent redfish, pompano, permit. Going around through the back islands, it's going to be a little bit less. The water's up enough now where you can fish those islands. You can get in and out, but go slow because it is really skinny back there.
Yeah.
Idle your way through, but just keep hitting island to island. You're going to run into some amazing redfish, amazing snook fishing. But you get into Bull Bay proper...
I like going into Bull Bay and heading left and going straight over to that shoreline.
Right.
There's a nice big deep bowl in there. A really good place to pick up some nice trout on the edges of that bowl. A lot of times your little trout will school up inside that bowl, and your big trout will sit on the edges trying to eat the little trout. So, great place to pick up bigger trout. And then you can just slide right over to the mangroves when the tide comes all the way in, and it's a great place to pick up redfish and snook.
Right. Now, Bull Bay, kind of in general, a lot of big snook, redfish. Right. You're getting outside there to the Cayo Costa side between Cayo Blue and Devilfish, and then working down the tailing flats. Have the tailing flats lit up yet?
There's two schools of redfish that have been there for about 10 days now. One school, some smaller fish, like 3 to 6 pound range, and then there's one other school in there that's like in that upper, above slot fish, like in that 10 to 12 pound range. They've been moving all around there, basically from the clam fields up to the oyster patch where everyone kind of tries to collect oysters from, over to what is that sand fly that's just north of there.
Right.
Yeah.
All that whole area there has been real good, and they've also been following that trough that takes you in that everyone kind of uses for a main thoroughfare to get into Whidden Bay, into Whidden Creek.
Yep.
They've been following that quite a bit, too. And then there's a lot of big snook that have been cruising the perimeter of the edge of that channel, too, through there. You know, the trout have been null and void in there, which is weird. You know, you'd figure you'd hear of a few here and there, but I have not heard of much up there.
Catfish Creek still doing okay down at the other end, down towards Placida?
It's a little bit, but it's still been a little sporadic. There has been some redfish, a lot of snook cruising in and out of there. The bonnet heads have been a little better up towards that end. And then pretty much you get up to Placida and the mangrove snapper bite has been sick right there.
I'm going to back up a little bit. The inside of Boca Grande coming down from like Three Sisters on around through those docks, they were real hot all winter. Mm-hmm. Now, is the water changing affecting that at all?
Not yet. It's still really clear water out there right now. So the snook and the redfish there, mangrove snapper, pompano, lots of sharks, tarpon. All that miscellaneous stuff is still cruising up and down that entire shoreline.
A lot of Spanish mackerel and ladyfish out there, too.
Is there?
Yeah, so if you're looking for bait, that's one of the better places to go to consistently find ladyfish.
It's surprising how many people overlook the shore on Gaspereau Island because I think they're so busy getting over to the other side with the tailing flats and Bull Bay, they forget if they go right up against the backside of Boca there. There's some amazing fishing
back
there.
Absolutely phenomenal fishing back in there. And I think because it's a little tricky to navigate, too, because there are so many little sandbars, especially as you get to the north side of the island there, it can be a little tricky to navigate.
It's daunting to navigate, but go slow. I mean, you're not running a race. You're not fishing a tournament. Go slow, explore, find your way around.
And you'll actually see fish.
If you're idling through there, you'll see the fish. So it takes us to Placida on that See the Fish. What's going on at See the Fish in Placida? You were talking about snappers.
The mangrove snapper bite there at night has been unbelievable. Off the trestle and all the surrounding docks there on the backside of Little Gasparilla Island and the north side of Boca. Lots of mangroves. The snook fishing has been really, really good at night. Some bigger bull reds have been moving in and out of there at night. During the daytime, it's been a few Spanish mackerel, lots of bonnet heads. Some jacks kind of coming through here and there, but they're always sporadic. Spade fish.
The tarpon.
Some of the spade fish. Some of the guys have been getting some nice spade fish off there. Not great numbers. It seems like there's better spade fish numbers up inside, which we'll get to, but the spade fish that are there seem to be in like that 2-pound range, fairly good chunky guys.
Now, a lot of the tarpon guides are going to be upset with this, but if I was going to go out looking for tarpon along one of the passes right now, Gasparilla Pass would be my number two choice.
Absolutely.
I'm going to call probably, you know, you got to probably say Boca's your number one because you're just going to check it anyway. But I would say if I was closer to Gasparilla, I'd fish that first. I'd give that an hour and a half of just kind of hanging out because you get such a good shot of seeing a school of tarpon move in or out of that pass.
With a whole lot less pressure on them.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's two or three of the guides I know that are all talking about that are, you know, talking about Gasparilla Pass is the place to be.
As far as I'm concerned, you go through Gasparilla Pass, you fish it, you make your way down your beach to Boca Grande.
But heading up the Intercoastal, the Placida Bay there, just north of the trestles, got some nice redfish in it. There's still quite a few snook through there. But heading up, getting up towards Lemon Bay, haven't heard a tremendous amount of reports except a lot of snook and stump pass. Catfish doing really well.
Yeah, the catfish and really big ladyfish have been doing incredible off the Tom Adams Bridge and around the bridge itself. And then right through the pass. The whiting seems to have quieted down in the last week, but there has been some little bit better quality whiting out there. A lot of jacks cruising along the beaches out there first thing in the morning, right at first light. And then a few sharks cruising around. Most of them are the little small guys, but still fun to catch.
All right. Now, if you're going to go out and walk along the beaches, just walk along the beach there, heading, you know, any beach from, let's start up there and just work our way down towards Sanibel.
The snook fishing. I mean, pretty much there's so many snook out there right now. And then there has been quite a few pompano popping up in the last few days down there along all the beaches from Minnesota all the way down to Sanibel.
Yep.
They're not scattered. They're in little groups. So you may not catch anything for hours, then you get into a nice wad of them and start popping them pretty good. There's also been quite a few bonnet heads scattered around out there too, but the snook has been all the craze for everybody really out there right now.
Let's see. Caleb Ketter, he sent me a notice on Facebook. Peace River, a lot of sharks up there. And let's see, Daniel Eccles. He's also endorsing that thing, but let's see. I gotta find it. I'll get back to that. But I got the first one in. I'm trying to read from all the way over here. I need glasses for that. Go ahead. You work your way down the beaches, and then let's hit offshore.
Offshore fishing has been really, really, really good. The mangrove snapper bite and all of the passes and all of the nearshore reefs have been incredible. I mean, they're getting mangrove snapper up to 3 pounds at some of the reefs out there.
Yeah, a lot of sharks.
A lot of sharks, barracudas.
Spotted reports of cobia out there.
Yeah.
Well, just to throw in a little weird one, in southern Michigan right now, you got a post-spawn bass fishing going on. Say they're doing great, any kind of little swim baits, and they're working their way into more of the soft plastics, getting them a little deeper. But southern Michigan, you got a good post-spawn bass bite going. I'll be back with more.
There you go. Also out there, there's been permits scattered all over the place, and if you're Eric Davis, you're just wrecking them. He got a 30-pounder yesterday and had, I think he said, 15 total that they landed.
Wow.
And Wayne Locker, he just gave me a little notation on Facebook. He's getting 12 to 15 inch mangrove snappers back in Bull Bay.
Nice.
Wayne Locker, Wayne's good, but that's big snappers.
For inside, that's huge. Red grouper are doing fair, like at about, 25 to 30 miles. Gag grouper opens up next Tuesday, and you're going to see a lot of people going out there for them, because, the gag grouper bite has been unbelievable from 4 miles out to 20 miles out. Incredible. And down there at the Mohawk and the Pegasus and the Captiva Blue Hole, which are all right around that 30-mile range, they're getting gags up to like 18 pounds fairly consistently down there.
And we were whacking them in between Boca Grand Pass and Bernstorff not too long ago.
I'm going to drop back up to Lemon Bay. If you oyster beds, potholes, big redfish, and that is according to David Keeser. And David's been doing real good on the redfish up there in Lemon Bay with fishing there. He doesn't say what he's fishing with, but he says any of the oyster beds, potholes, got a lot of nice big redfish in them.
There you go. I know a lot of guys that fish up there, they like to use the little finger whiting that they catch in the surf up there. They work really, really good for those redfish and the snook right there.
Okay. And while we're on the offshore beat, Amanda Boley, mahi-mahi, sailfish, several tuna, all that's going on down the Keys. I guess it's really rocking in the Keys right now.
Yeah.
She didn't list what they were catching them on, but she's been Amanda Boley, and I think her husband and the whole family's down there. They're just having a blast. A lot of great pictures, and she's just said that the Keys are rocking with mahi-mahi right now.
Yeah, the mahi-mahi are like anywhere from 3 miles to 20 miles. There's in that entire depth of water from 200 feet to 800 feet. Most of them are a little schooly dolphin. There's not a lot of giant dolphin, but from Key Largo all the way over to Key West, I guess it's one of the best dolphin feeds they've had in a long time.
There's nothing wrong with those little ones. You can only eat them one bite at a time.
Well, in the Keys, there's a size limit on dolphin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't keep the little ones in the Keys, something like that.
22 inches.
But when you get out here in the Gulf of Mexico, there is no size limit on them, so you can actually keep those chicken dolphin they find out there. They call small dolphin chicken dolphin.
Right.
Don't know why that is.
But I don't know.
Dolphin.
I've heard them called puppies, chicken, and peanuts.
Yep.
Peanut and chicken, I've heard. But anyway, blackfin tuna is still a little bit out there in the Gulf.
I call them dinner.
Yes.
40 to 45 miles out, there are some sailfish out there, some big blackfin tuna. Our blackfin tuna are totally different than the ones you get down in the Keys. You can go down there and catch 30 or 40 blackfin tuna down there, but they're literally like 1 to 3 pounds. Here, you might only catch one or two, but they're 20 to 25 pounds consistently. It's really unusual if you catch a blackfin here under 20 pounds.
Real good test of your drag washers.
Yeah. Yeah, they will put havoc on you. There's also been a few scattered kingfish still out there. The bonita are starting to show up a little bit more out there in that, 30 to 40 mile mark too. And you'll see more bonita moving in closer to shore as this summer progresses a little bit, especially as this fresh water pushes a lot of this little glass minnow fry that's all over in the harbor. It'll start to push that out to the beaches, and you'll start to see more Spanish coming in, more bonitas, and a lot more sharks feeding on them.
You'll start seeing those feeding frenzies starting right out there outside the pass.
Yeah, I think you got about 2 to 3 more weeks before that happens, because this little dry spell helps slow things down just an extra week or so, because the water is still very, very clear out there at Boca and just off the beaches. There isn't any brown water at all yet, and usually by the third week of June, it's already starting to just get a little tinge to it, along with some occasional patches of real dark brown, but there's nothing out there right now yet, which is good. And then if you want to go all the way down to like the Caloosahatchee and down towards Knapp's Point, tarpon are still really, really well. In the last few days, have started to pick up right there off the beaches and right at the mouths of Redfish Pass, Captiva Pass, and the Caloosahatchee have started to just kind of light up a little bit more with those tarpon, just a little more consistency to them. And that kind of seems to be the general consensus up and down the beaches altogether with tarpon. It's this last 4 days has made a little bit of a swing towards the better side. Not phenomenal the way it should be, but it has turned from crappy and good to good and decent.
Now, we're not going to use that anymore. You're going to have to say...
Sorry.
I don't know. We'll figure out new phrases, but that's okay. One phrase I'm eliminating from the vocabulary now.
Okay.
No more of
that. What's
that? Crappy.
Oh, okay. That's mediocre.
We were talking about the fish.
I don't care. That's the last one we're going to... I don't want it used anymore.
No problem.
Okay. We figure out we are clever enough to come up with other words. Cause okay. I just have this vision of a 3-year-old sitting there listening with his dad, yeah. And
I gotcha.
that's the one word out of the whole show that they'll pick up on.
Right.
So we're not going to do that.
Especially
anymore.
Since we dwell on it so long.
Yes. So yes, but just letting your folks know.
Got it.
These are going to stop. Coming up in from Sanibel, I know there's still a lot of snook there around Ponderosa, some yeah. trout on the flat, a lot of little grouper, but.
The redfish too have started to pick up quite a bit down there. Some of those real deep sand holes, some bigger redfish in like that 28 to 35 inch range. A lot of small sharks scattered in and out throughout there. A few cobia, some bigger sharks hanging out in some of those deeper sand holes.
And some pompano running through there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pompano, few trout still out in those deeper sand holes. And I mean deeper sand holes, like the 6 foot to 8 foot depth of water range. As you get closer to the passes, you're starting to see a lot more snook, a lot more consistency with the redfish and tarpon moving in and out, and some bigger sharks.
Now, tarpon up around the Cape Coral bridges is doing pretty fair. I haven't heard much about 41 bridge, but they ought to be doing pretty good up on Colonial.
They went Friday night.
Well, that's on Colonial on 41 down in Fort Myers.
Right.
But if you go up towards the trestle, there's been some monster snook up by the trestle. I talked to a guy the other day, and he's thrown the big mavericks, the full-size mavericks, the 223s, and red and white, or the ghost. They're liking that lighter color, the redhead doing a little bit better than the straight ghost, but work parallel to the pilings. Just get up fairly close, cast way over to your side, and bring them back across. And if you're not doing that, go to the rattle traps.
I was going to say, I just had a guy in here about 3 hours ago that bought the big 2-ounce rattle traps that he was using down there in the river.
Yeah, because...
And he said he was using them for the snook and the tarpon, but he says he's going as far as from 75 all the way out, just kind of milling around, blind casting to different areas or trolling.
But the rattle trap and the Maverick Golden Eyes, that's what's hot on the Caloosahatchee right now. And that brings us up to Matt Lachey.
And white seems to be the dominant color.
Really?
Especially for fishing at night at all these bridges. White seems to be the dominant color.
All right. So we got Captain Kale there with white. He's a white supremacist right now. This white is the ultimate. And nobody's even following me. Nobody's even giving me a hard time. I mean, you know, hey, I know what we're going to do. Okay. It's, you know, I make a joke, and this is what happens. You know, it's just one of those days, you know.
My question is why is it that when white works, it works absolutely phenomenal, and then like a light switch, nothing happens again for weeks, days, or months?
I don't know. It's
and that's for redfish or snook or tarpon. Why is it that white just out of the blue just works so incredible no matter the watercolor?
I think it's with redfin.
I'm not messing with it. You're stuck with it. Okay.
I think it's the threadfin.
I don't think so.
We're starting to see those big threadfin move up above.
Because it happens in December. It happens in August. Right. It happens in May.
It was a nice try, Captain Kale. But I think Robert's calling me on that one.
Yeah.
I think it was a good theory.
It was a good theory. Sounded good.
So, anyway, we're coming up, Matt Lachey. Some tarpon activity, lots of big snook. I don't know how the redfish are doing. I know just north of there.
Down at the Indian Fields, a lot of nice oversized redfish.
Yeah, and they're across by the ice house doing good.
Yeah.
Carl's been down there hammering those big redfish.
Yeah, they like it. You know, that's a great place for big redfish right now, Indian Fields and across by the ice house there. Not to be confused with the ice house up by Pirate Harbor. But brings us up around Two Pines and that northern end of the harbor, which is this time of year, I would think, a good tarpon bet, but I'm not sure. I know the sharks would be good, but
yeah.
What's going on with there?
There's been some tarpon there, but it's mainly been the sharks. So yeah. The sharks have been the main thing, and it's not big yeah. sharks. It's most of them are the smaller black tips. And
little guys, black nose, sharp nose.
Back up in Two Pines itself, there's tons of snook, there's trout, there's ladyfish, there's catfish.
Yeah, the catfish seem to have dominated in the last couple yeah. of weeks all over the place. I mean, whether it's the canal or the center of the harbor or even out at the beaches.
Yeah.
You
know,
right bait showing up.
Yeah, I mean, those catfish are there to eat, and when the bait fish all shows up, most fish are messy eaters. They just go right underneath the schools. Mm-hmm. They compete feeding, and plus they pick up the pieces. They're a total cleaning crew. But I'm going to say, now, let's go over to Jug Creek Shoals, because that's worth a mention. Still the most consistent place to find white bait right now.
Right.
But yep. Small grouper on the flats, a little bit of ladyfish, some puffers, some spiny boxfish.
Small snapper.
Snappers.
Small trout. Mm-hmm. Small sharks.
Yeah, pretty much it's a consistent place for small.
Right.
I mean,
I love getting there right after everybody's done catching bait, because they've thrown a million pounds of chum in the water.
Absolutely.
And there is just a gazillion little fish to catch. Not yeah. a lot of big keeper stuff, but just a lot of activity.
Yeah. But if you just want to bend a rod, or you want to take somebody out and just show them an experience and catch a variety of fish without having to move very much, I mean, literally, you named 10 different species right there, and you still missed another 10 that you're going to catch there.
And what's cool is a great place to show people how to use lures, jigs, topwaters, because there's so many small fish they're willing to eat.
Right.
And I've done many a trip where I've taken people there, taught them how to use a lure, then go to another place where it isn't as active, but now they knew how to work it, now they knew what to do, they caught the smaller fish, and we'd go somewhere else, catch bigger fish with them.
Right.
But anyway, let's go from Burnt Store up the east side. It's what's going on?
East side has been getting more and more active. We're starting to finally see some white bait making its way up the east side. Of course, you've got the snook out in front of the islands at Burnt Store. You've got some redfish that have been cruising in between Hobbs Point and Burnt Store there on the flats.
Even just south of Burnt Store Channel, there's still quite a few redfish out in that more open water. Once you get across that little trough right up next to that mangroves moving out, those redfish have been scattered pretty good throughout there, too.
So we're going to call Pirate Harbor the better of the areas on the east side?
Yeah. I mean, as you go up a little bit further north of east of Pirate Harbor, it does start to slow down quite a bit. You know, it's getting to that point where the water temperature is going to overpower the food source or anything like that. So those fish are moving out of those back creeks and out of those islands and starting to head down a little bit further south. A
lot of nice snook in there. And you don't have to chum them up with 1,000 pieces of white bait. And 9 times out of 10, you're better off if you don't chum them up. White bait under a bobber along any of these island faces is producing really, really good snook.
Now,
the pinfish also are starting to move in pretty good over there.
Yeah, a lot of pinfish just inside the bar over there. You can catch a lot of them up and through there. Just dropping outside the bar, you still got some bonnets out there. You got a little bit of permit going up and down. We've seen some Spanish mackerel activity. But how's the tarpon doing right on the outside of that bar over there?
Pretty scattered, but much better numbers as far as showing themselves now.
Yeah, they are there. You probably won't see them rolling. It's going to be...
Well, they're rolling a little bit more the last 2 days.
The only place I've really seen them rolling, you know, consistently is Alligator Creek Reef. You know, you'll see them every once in a while outside the east bar, but it's mostly you're driving by. Oh, there they are!
So, out at the reef right now, good spot for tarpon. That takes us into the middle of the harbor. So, going from Alligator Creek Reef, we've got tarpon there. There's gag grouper there, spade fish. You can actually catch some legal-sized gags there right now. You got to get off of the reef for them.
Well,
not
you can't
on the structure.
Keep legal-sized gags for one
July
week.
1st. Right.
One
but
more week.
You're getting real close. Good time to practice up to find those keepers. And that moves us to the 20-foot hole, the middle hole, the Pirate Harbor hole. What's going on out there?
Well, before we jump out to the holes, we're starting to see what we normally see. And that's
what do we normally see?
That big whirlpool that happens out there around the Alligator Creek Reef. That main current comes right up the east side, curls around Mangrove Point, hits another main current, and circles back.
Yeah,
you can't physically see it.
The outgoing tide coming down from the river, right, and the Myakka pushing one way. You got the east, the incoming tides pushing up from the other way.
Right, and it's balling those thread fins up above Alligator Creek Reef, in between Alligator Creek Reef and Mangrove Point. And that is going to be a prime spot to start watching for tarpon here in the next coming months.
Cool. Now, go to the holes, Robert. What do we got out there?
A lot of small sharks, cobia scattered everywhere.
Yeah. Get fishies.
Yeah, plenty of catfish. Lots of miscellaneous sharks of all sizes, mostly on the small side, but there are some bigger pigs in there that'll just destroy you. A couple of guys have been seeing some triple tail floating by while they're out there cruising, you know, drifting around or anchored up. So it's still, you know, it's good, but it's not incredible. But the tarpon, if you're willing to be patient and feed a bunch of sharks and catfish, you will be productive with it.
Yeah, you will eventually catch a tarpon or a cobia doing that.
Yeah, and the way the numbers have been down in Boca Grande Pass, for the most part this whole season, guys have been averaging 3 fish a day in the air and maybe 1 to the boat. Yep. If you sit out there in the 20-foot hole, guys are doing 3 to 5 fish a day and 2 to the boat. Yep. So your odds are still the same, you're just not seeing the numbers, you know.
Well, good. Now, we've talked about a lot of spade fish up in the harbor and a lot of these other things. It's a crazy amount. Anybody heard of catching seahorses lately?
No.
No, and that's odd because usually...
Even the pipe fish have been null and void.
Usually I pick up
a lot of seahorses
in my cast net at Marker 2. But there's been a lot more spade fish at Marker 2 than you normally see.
I wonder if spade fish will eat a seahorse. Seem to be right up their alley. I know they go after the jellyfish and stuff.
Yeah,
the
jellyfish is their primary diet. So, and I don't know if they would prey.
How many creatures?
I don't know if they would prey on a seahorse or not.
Yeah, I don't know. But there used to be just so many seahorses here. It was amazing. And even just a couple years ago, I don't think they're gone. I don't think they're in any trouble. It just sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't. Small squid in the harbor.
Well,
anybody been seeing those?
I don't think we've seen a lot of seahorses because nobody's throwing their cast nets up here in the harbor.
That could be it. Small squid. Anybody seen any squid up in the harbor?
I haven't seen any squid. And this is usually the time of year I'm getting them in my net at Marker 2 also.
The sea hares are out there, though. They've been getting a lot of guys seeing those swimming around.
The sea hare is an amazing creature because
it's bizarre as heck.
It kind of looks like a slug, and they call it the swimming lady parts. And I'll let you use your imagination with that, because it kind of opens and closes, and it's a very unusual thing. And it puts out a purple stain if you catch one.
Yeah, it's like ink from an octopus.
Yeah,
or a squid.
A lot of sea creatures like that emit that purple ink. We used to catch little slugs in California when we were diving that looked like peanuts. The most beautiful thing you ever saw in your life, and you put a handful of them in your yellow net dive bag, and by the time you get to the surface, the whole bag's dyed a beautiful shade of purple.
What'd you do, eat them?
No, we got them for the fish tanks.
Oh. Okay.
Wow. The big thing right now is Sprint and Boost are pretty much non-existent right now. And they heard that somebody said they might have got a fiber optic line cut and said that other people are talking many days before it gets fixed. Up to 164 towers are going bad.
That's not good.
So, you know, if you got a Sprint or a Boost phone, chances are you're not going to be doing a call-in show when we start those. Not for a while. Because I've got Boost, and I think you do, and you've got a Sprint or something. I mean, it's amazing.
I've got AT&T.
Oh, you got AT&T? So you're lucky. Your phone probably works.
Yeah.
Old American Telephone and Telegraph.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, American Telephone and Telegraph. The old Ma Bell system.
Right.
And the government broke it up. And
they considered it a monopoly. Yeah. Right. I remember that part. I just didn't know what the AT&T stood for.
American Telephone and Telegraph. They, when you used to see in the movies, a telegraph for Mr. So-and-so, that was AT&T.
Nice.
So you've gone from one great working company, broke down to a bunch of small companies that don't do anything.
Don't work at all, yeah.
Right.
I miss Ma Bell. All right, but back to it. We didn't do PGI in the canals.
Nope. Lots and lots of little tarpon.
Were you just waiting for me to bring it back up?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's my job. Yeah, that's my job. I'm supposed to be doing it. I know. PGI canals, what's perfect. Going on in there?
Yeah, it's perfect. And behind door number two and light number three, there is a lot of tarpon.
A lot of tarpon, a lot of jacks.
Do you choose canal number one, canal number two, or the rim canal? Which one do you pick?
All of them.
I'm greedy. I want them all.
The rim canal, you're going to pick up a lot of snapper up against the mangrove side, especially once you get about halfway down the rim canal and get into that rocky shoreline. A lot of little snapper, but you can pick through those little snapper and find some legal ones in there. Like Robert said, lots of small tarpon. Lots of snook under the lights at night. Lots of ladyfish and snapper underneath the lights at night. Plenty of jacks running the canals during the daytime.
Yeah, those glass minnows are so thick up inside the canals on both sides of the harbor that it's pretty amazing. And those little jacks from anywhere from 1 to 2 pounds all the way up to as big as 10 pounders are just corralling them in some of those dead-end canals and just smashing them.
I got to say, fishing jacks, sight fishing them when they're boiling is probably one of the most exciting experiences you can
absolutely
have in Florida here. So,
frustrating.
Anyway, frustrating and exciting.
Frustrating,
because
you can't keep up with them.
Yeah, they're tough, but it's cool. Now, anything else we need to go over today?
There's just so much happening out there right now, and a lot of things are changing big time, so it's you got to kind of bring all of your arsenal out there right now, because the tarpon are starting to move into the harbor a little bit more. The sharks are everywhere.
So you want a light rod for your Spanish mackerel and your snappers. You want a medium rod to go over and do your snook and redfish. And you want your big guns to go to the tarpon.
You're taking everything with you.
Yeah, and
we'll
just be prepared to change your plan.
The kitchen sink time, folks.
Yeah.
Throw it all in there in the kitchen sink, and you probably won't have what you're looking for, but at least you tried.
Exactly.
So now, everything's getting better. We're in the upswing.
So we kind of covered the fishing report. Let's take a minute and talk about your charter today. You did have a great time. You were doing supposedly instructional trip and just went on to do snook and redfish?
Yeah.
Where were they from?
We covered some of the river. The guy was from East Texas. So he's been a bass fisherman all his life.
What did he think of it all?
He loves it down here. He was really pleased that you can catch so many different species in the same area. Now, even sitting at the 75 bridge, you've got tarpon, catfish, black drum, snapper, snook, redfish, all right there in one spot. Now, he understands that he's behind the gun. He knows that he's got a lot to learn as far as our tides go and water movement goes. He understands that he's got a lot to learn as far as bait and lure presentation.
I think that's one of the other differences, and we're going to go into one day. We're so like bass fishing. I mean, it's so similar, but yet different.
Yeah, and that's the thing that he said is, you fish like you do for bass, but you have to do it slower, and you have to be mindful of your size. He says, bass don't care. If it's 2 inches long and they want it, they'll eat it. If it's 12 inches long and they want it, they'll eat it. But snook won't do that.
Right.
Especially in the canals. They get very, very size specific.
A lot of times they can be like trout in a stream with a hatch. You know, they get so focused on that certain size, whether it's a shrimp or a bait fish, they will not deviate no matter how tempting and how good the presentation is. They aren't going to go around that. They want that little fry or that medium size,
and
depending on what their mood is.
The tarpon will do it.
Oh, tarpon always do it,
75
too.
75 bridge. They want 3 inches long and white.
Right.
If it's 5 inches long and white, they may not hit it. If it's 4 inches long and black, forget it.
Right.
You know, they want it 3 inches long and white.
Until they want it 4 inches long and black.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that could change when a cloud goes over.
Right.
So, but anyway, the fishing has been real good. It's a great time to get a charter, or if you already have a boat, you can hire Captain Kale to go on the boat with you, show you where to go, what to do, and how to do all this stuff. Just give us a call here. Kale, what's your phone number?
Not like it will work with Sprint being down, but
The phones don't work, but give it to them anyway.
It's 941-916-4538.
And Fish and Franks is 941-625-3888. That's 941-625-3888. I'm sure you've seen it on the website. But you can call us. We can get you in touch with Captain Kale. Or you can talk to Robert about fishing, or me, or one of us. I mean,
there's one of us.
There's 13 of us here. Somebody will help you out. But anyway, I guess that's Radio Fishing for the this fishing report. Anything we forgot?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Bobby?
Sure.
Okay, let's do Bobby to close out with. There she goes.
Up this morning before the sun, grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in the pickup, give her a crank. I gotta talk with Fishing Frank. Fishing Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishing Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishing Frank's. You gotta go to Fishing Frank's. The one who knows is Fishing Frank.
Fishing Frank in the chair here, Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain Kale in the middle. So we will see you on the next Radio Fishing. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.